This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It was the three players to Oklahoma City that got it done. It was Chet Holmgren, 22 points, Jalen Williams, 26 points, and then Shea, 38 points.
The MVP.
The MVP. Juxtapose that with Minnesota, they finally had a bad Julius Randle game and they lost. Like, finally, by the way, Julius Randle's just been unbelievable for these last few weeks, whether it was against the Lakers or the Warriors. He looked like the best player in basketball at times. He was insane.
Because took Draymond Green and the cleaners in that series.
6 points only for him yesterday. That was basically it. Anthony Edwards showed up offensively, although 1 of 9 from beyond the arc, not going to get it done, but he was driving to the rim. He was distributing 32 points. But again, it's not always two players anymore. Someone else has to step up in the playoffs.
That's where that depth comes in.
Exactly. Goes back to the depth piece. Goes back to, you know, Boston last year winning it all with the likes of Peyton Pritchard, right? Derek White, guys like that. Kristaps at times. It's not just Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So, yes, tandems. You have to have at least a tandem to get you to that point, but someone else
that's
has to step
base,
up.
That's your base.
Like Draymond Green, another guy that when he's scoring, it just changes the dynamic of the team. He wasn't doing that. So we want to get on JK all the time. Sure, if you want to blame him, if you want to blame Kurt, somewhere in the middle when it comes to these things. I'm just at the point where I truly believe that if you move on from Jonathan Kuminga, this notion that you're automatically going to just get that scoring back some other way, it's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah.
I'm just not buying it right now. I'm not buying it unless you somehow land Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't see that.
No, the only way
Cam Johnson? I don't know.
Like, we'll see. Cam Johnson, I look at Cam Johnson, is he the answer to the Warriors, or is he just a guy scoring a lot on a bad Brooklyn team? You know, like, he's probably somewhere in the middle. He probably would be an asset to the Warriors in some capacity, but is he that end-all, be-all answer that the Warriors think he's going to be? That just seems like a big expectation to put on him. I think a lot of people just look at the 23 points a night or something that he's scoring, and, you know, yeah, he could be maybe that 3-and-D guy, but I think people are looking at Cam Johnson as the magical answer to everything, and that seems like a bit much to do. I think right now it's the question is just moving off of that series. Forget how much blame you want to put on Jonathan Kuminga in the playoffs. That's moot at this point now, because moving forward, the question is simply, is there a way Steve Kerr can make this work? Is there a way that this Warriors coaching staff can make him be a part of the puzzle? And I'm a third or another cut here, Spadoni.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, I know. This is passenger driving here. Side seat driving. He talked about, you know, can Kuminga make the adjustments necessary to fit in with the Warriors next year? And obviously training camp is going to be a big part of whether or not that is possible and if they can make that happen.
That one was on with Willard and Dibbs.
Yes, yesterday. That one was on with Willard. Yeah, we're going back and forth. Kerr on Kawakami, Kerr on Willard and Dibbs. The previous cut was Kerr on Kawakami. What you're going to hear in just a moment is what Steve Kerr said about the adjustments Kuminga needs to make. This was on Willard and Dibbs yesterday.
I do, but it's, again, it's, you know, we're you go down the path and you try to get, you know, kind of habits that are built, and, you know, you want them to be consistent, And so you know, in year four, you would hope that those things are coming. And I would say they have been inconsistent. I'm talking about the rebounding front and taking care of the ball. And so, look, I mean, I've tried to explain this, you know, to our fans and to you guys over the course of the year. But the way the team is built, you know, we've got two guys in Jimmy and Steph who are two of the very best in the league, and they're going to have the ball in their hands. We have two guys in Steph and Draymond who are going to turn the ball over quite a bit. It's just kind of the nature of their games. You know, the fit with Jonathan, and I've been very open with him about this as well, the fit is a little tricky when he's a guy who needs the ball and he's a guy who turns the ball over a lot.
I did like that. It's just in their game with Steph and Curry turning the ball over.
But when J.K. does it, it's the worst thing ever.
I know. It's silly.
Well, the reason is because Steph is good enough to overcome those turnovers. I mean, for a time, I mean, this is a guy who, even his MVP year, remember, there was the whole thing, he had to buy his mom a purse every time he got a couple turnovers in a game. But no one cared, because when you're putting up 28 a night.
Most privileged thing I've ever heard in my life, by the way. Continue.
Hey, man, you got to hook mom up with a purse. You know,
here's some Prada, mom. There you
wasn't
go.
Wasn't it $1,000?
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Oh, yeah,
like
you could afford it. But, you know, hey, purses are great. That's my go-to gift for my mom for, you know, birthday or Mother's Day. If I don't know what to get her, I'd get her a new purse.
Yeah, that's so nice, you know, Sam.
That's I'm a good son.
Jamie, right?
Yes.
The great Jamie.
Yep. She's tuned in right now. Hi, Mom. But yeah, that did not seem like a Steve Kerr who feels confident in Jonathan Kuminga's ability to essentially wake up and be like, oh, this is what I need to do. You know, Coach Kerr did have a point. I don't, and again, there's this belief that, again, training camp will be the fix-all here. It does not sound at this moment in time like Steve Kerr feels confident in Jonathan Kuminga's ability to adjust into the role that Coach Kerr has for him in mind right now.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and our Valkyries, now 1-1 on the season after getting their first ever win.
Let's go.
In the history of their franchise. Love that. And we are always live on the free Odyssey app and coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Jimmy in Danville wants to join the conversation. 888-957-9570. We're talking about, what should the Warriors do this offseason? Jimmy, you're on with Spadoni and Lubman. What's up, man?
Jimmy.
Happy Friday to you guys. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. It's a
doing
Friday.
Good, Jimmy.
It's awesome.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, man, I think the number one priority building for the future would be to sign JK. If Steve Kerr is this amazing, you know, quote-unquote Hall of Fame coach, you're going to find a way to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you think about it, every successful team in the NBA has an athletic wing, or you know, hybrid guard, however you want to word it. You take Kuminga off that team, the Warriors' athleticism drops down to a zero. He's really the only athletic player on that team. The guy is 22. He's going to make. I mean, I played basketball on a high. I played overseas. I played at a high level. Young people that's still learning the game are going to make mistakes. Like you said, Curry turns the ball over a lot. James Harden, hands down, Hall of Famer, he turns the ball over a lot. But you can't fault him. The guy is 22. And if you give him up, you will be crazy to give him up. And I would say Cam Johnson is not a guy you add. Cam Johnson is a guy you add with Kuminga and, you know, the likes of Butler and Curry on that team. You don't go get him to try to bring him in there to be like the third player, you know, like a C. He needs to be like the fourth or fifth best player on the championship team. You guys have a good weekend.
Thank you. That's Jimmy in Danville. He thinks the Warriors should re-sign Jonathan Kuminga, and he didn't say trade him after that. What say you, Dub Nation, 888-957-9570? And when it comes to the scoring, can the Warriors just easily replace the scoring of a Jonathan Kuminga? And I get it. You're going to say, well, they got through the first round series basically without him. He didn't have much scoring then. Okay, sure.
But let's be honest, though. I totally cut you off there. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I mean, the Warriors had to fight for their lives to kind of win that series at the end against Houston. They almost tricked that series away. I mean, they buckled down in Game 7 because that's the championship medal there.
And why did they almost trick that series away?
They're getting beaten up in the size battle, for one.
The athleticism.
And the athleticism as well. And,
yeah.
You know, who was our guy? Ryan Hollins came on. He basically said Warriors could win or lose this series based on whether or not they decide to play Kuminga or not. Mm. And if the Warriors had blown that 3-1 lead, the second one that they would have blown, and Jonathan Kuminga would have had 7 DMPs, the amount of hell to pay for Steve Kerr and the Warriors coaching staff this summer would have been insane.
Oh, my God.
But that is not the life we get to live. But it still points out to Jimmy's point. He makes it like, you cannot take away the athleticism that this team has, the little that it has. You need to build on it. And I like what he said about Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson is not a guy you ship Jonathan Kuminga out and then bring Cam Johnson into a place. It's you want to have both of those guys. Now, that's probably not very possible just with, the roster constraints and whatnot that they're going to be dealing with here. But I think that kind of goes to show, like, the salvation that Warrior fans are searching for and looking for right now, like, I don't know if that plan is possible of Cam Johnson being that savior. You're going to have to look elsewhere. It's either you're moving off Kuminga for something bigger, which, that's when you get into the crazy Giannis trades, or you got to figure it out with Kuminga and you're signing him long term because that is your most athletic player. That is your most promising young player at age 22. And if you're looking in the beyond Steph years, which I know Joe Lacob is, that's why Joe Lacob loves Jonathan Kuminga so much. Like, that's your best bet right there as well. So it's just the pros of trying to make it work with Jonathan Kuminga, I think, outweigh the whatever you get by moving off of him.
Listen, Sam, I'm just going to be blunt right now. I'm an idiot. I'm dumb when it comes to certain things.
Yeah, you can cut that.
Right. You can cut that in the back. It's fine. I'm stupid. Nah. All right. When it comes to the ingress and egress of the X's and O's in basketball, I don't pretend to be Phil Jackson. I'm not Greg Popovich. I'm not Steve
Kerr. You're not on that league pass life?
Why is it so hard when we're talking about just passing the basketball and playing through an offense? Why do they make it seem like it just can't be done? I mean, Jonathan, like, it's just... I just don't think he just can't play with Steph and Jimmy right now. I don't know. He just can't pass the ball.
Well, this is where I...
Why do they make it sound like it's this rocket science? It's not that difficult.
No. Dumbo!
So there's clearly a miscommunication Sensation. Between Steve and Jonathan where they need to come together and figure this thing out. Because I do believe it can work. You can't tell me you get 2 months and an injured JK coming back and you saw enough of them to say, oh, this can never work. Really? Really?
Well, I think
that seems a little short-sighted to me.
Well, this is where it goes into. We can get into this more on the other side, but this kind of way, I said this in the first segment of the show, like, there is a role that Kuminga sees for himself, and there's a role that Steve Kerr and the coaching staff see for Kuminga on this team. And there is some disconnect on terms of bringing those visions together. How hard is it to pass the ball, Spadoni? I don't know. If you're thinking I can make this shot and bump my scoring average up a bit, or do I dish it out to Steph? If you're Jonathan Kuminga, 22 years old, trying to show off to the league saying, hey, I could be a number one Brooklyn Nets or any other team, I just default to the Nets, you're going to shoot the ball. But if you're in I'm going to accept my role player role mode, then yeah, you're going to pass it there. I mean, there was the Logan Murdoch wrote about that Pacers, the Blazers game. And how Kuminga was passing up, giving the ball to Steph to take his own shots and how angry the coaching staff was on that. That was Kuminga sees what he wants for himself and wants to go for that. And it's in contrast to what the Warriors want for Kuminga.
And we're going to pick this conversation up on the other side, 888-957-9570. When it comes to the communication between Steve Kerr and Jonathan Kuminga, feels like it's lost in translation. Shout out Bill Murray. Academy Award nominee in that movie, I believe, as well. That's what's coming on the game, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate.
leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Think it could work. 888-957-9570. Where is Brian Palo Alto?
Yeah, does Brian Palo Alto think that it can work? I know he is one of the biggest Jonathan Kuminga fans in all of Dub Nation. So,
well, he was actually high that JK actually showed up, and he was the only one showing up offensively when Steph went down. It was him and Jimmy. And in game three, that was the game to win. That could have extended the series and maybe changed some things. And again, I think we're all reacting now. And we'll get into the Jimmy Butler angle all this, because I do want to get into that, because I do think he's unfairly getting a little admonished from the fan base and from even hosts at the station when it comes to him. And I didn't think he I even said it. I probably overvalued what he was going to be with this team. But having said that, I even took a step back and said, this guy was only here for a couple months. He changed the fortunes of this franchise. You won a first round series for him. He was a baller in game three, the game you felt like you could have won and extended to a game six. And no one else stepped up around him outside of JK, and that was the difference there, even though he went scoreless in the final 8 minutes of the fourth quarter. Tough look. That being said, I'm still very high on Jimmy Butler and what he brings to the Golden State Warriors, and I'm still high on what Jonathan Kuminga could be. Now, is Steve Kerr high on him? It doesn't sound like he is as much from the comments with Tim Kawakami.
No,
it's not. Will and Dibbs yesterday. Are you high on Jonathan Kuminga, though, Sam? Like, as a player, do you think, like, would you be sad if they like moved on from him in the offseason?
Would you
be bummed?
Yes, I would be. I wouldn't be bummed. I would just be disappointed. No, I would not be thrilled about it, because, you know, Spadoni, I'm a lifelong Warrior fan, been going to these games since I was like 5 years old. You know, I was there for the Muggsy Bogues, Mookie Blaylock, Donald Foyle days. I know how dark it can get for Warrior fans, and I've been in that darkness. I don't want to go back to the darkness. And when I look at a guy like Jonathan Kuminga, and again, I think Joe Lacob, I think he sees Kuminga as the same thing. When you're looking about what this Steph, when you're thinking about what this team is going to look like once Steph Curry is, you know, kicking his feet up in retirement, you're seeing a team that could be built around Jonathan Kuminga. You're seeing a team that, you know, could be, that could have Kuminga in the role that he wants to be in. The question is, simply put, is Kuminga willing to wait to be put into that role? And that's kind of what I think he's maybe struggling with. So in terms of just the Warriors having a future, like a plan for the future, now I'm not saying they could build around Kuminga and it can end up being a total flop, but I at least want to have a chance to say that life after Steph won't be, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s again. I don't want to go back down into that dark hole. I'm not saying I need, you know, Jonathan Kuminga to be Steph Curry 2.0, because that's an incredibly unrealistic ask. But can you just be a dynamic player that can act as a stabilizing pillar on this team that, you know, Mike Dunleavy and co. can build around?
Did watching Jonathan and Jimmy play pretty well together offensively give you hope that this thing can work? 888-957-9570. Because, again, I keep mentioning that game three. I'm going to keep doing it because I saw enough there for me in that moment against a really good Timberwolves team. Like, I hear Jimmy's belief when he says, not only can we play together, we could thrive together. I did see them thrive offensively together. Now, Stephen Curry wasn't there. That's a big piece in all this. He wasn't there, and that changes a lot. Changes the spacing. It changes
the whole team.
It changes everything. I say all that to say, as much as Steph changes things for the better, I get it. Maybe Steph could change a little bit too. If JK is a future piece for this team and a piece that could take you over the top and make you a championship contender, because I truly believe if we got that version of JK scoring the ball with Jimmy and then Steph, yeah, now you're cooking with something that could be special. You were waiting for that one player. We got Pajemski, but it was the last game. It was like, okay, too little, too late. It was nice to see maybe confidence for him building into next season, but Moses wasn't stepping up. No. Quentin Post wasn't stepping up. Guy Santos, God love the guy. That's not what he's there for. Gary Payton, he's not going to score players. A bunch. Like, and the guy you actually needed to step up scoring the ball-wise, Draymond Green, again, in the last game he showed some aggression, but he wasn't showing that through the totality of the series. And he really, overall, if you go to the Rockets, he had some moments. But the T-Wolves series, he just wasn't very good. He just wasn't. It was not good enough for them. By the way, Draymond Green, shout out to him, though. He did get first team all defense when it comes to NBA defensive team. So good for him. Finished second or third in the DPOI vote, though.
I think it was his ninth first team defensive.
Correct. I think there's only four other players ahead of him.
And to do that at age 35, considering what he does, you know, banging around as a 6'7 center. And controlling dudes 6-7 inches taller than him, it's still absolutely incredible what he's able to do on the defensive side of the ball. But yeah, I know you do need more scoring from him. Do I believe it can work? I think it can. I think if you had asked me this 24 hours ago, I probably would have had a bit of a different answer. Listening to Kerr, though, on with Kawakami, and then again with Willard and Dibs last night, and, you know, check it out on the free Odyssey app and on YouTube, Steve Kerr with Willard and Dibs. I'm kind of coming around on it a little bit more, mainly because I feel like the Warriors don't really have a choice other than to try and find a way to make it work. Otherwise, you're trading him away and wading into an ocean of uncertainty there. I think it works. So if it's a lineup, say starting lineup next year, you probably got Stephen. I like Stephen Moody as your starting backcourt there. But going from there, do you put is Kuminga better off in the starting lineup with Jimmy, or is he better coming off the bench alongside Jimmy? And where this ends up going is, I think if it can work, if you do think that Kuminga is ready for that starting lineup role, which would give him a much more prominent role on this team, I think the move you make in response to that is, and I don't think they would actually commit to this, it's moving Draymond Green to the bench and having him be that first guy off the bench. Because I think that's just where things are at. Draymond's going to be 36 next year. The wear and tear that he's putting on his body, I do believe, is starting to catch up with him. I don't know if you can really count on Draymond to be a full season center, as the Warriors have sometimes done in the past. So I think if you do make it work, yeah, it's... It comes at the expense of Draymond's starting role, which, and then again, I don't know what the finishing lineup
starting
looks in that sense.
Starting doesn't matter. Yeah,
and finishing matters more. But to the players, they care. They want to hear their names called during the opening intros and all that fun stuff. But yeah, I think if you're making it work, does it come at the expense of Draymond's Green's playing time? And that's kind of where I lean in terms of how it will work, is that, yes, it can, but there's a little less Draymond. That doesn't mean no Draymond, but I think there's a different role for Draymond Green here as he enters the final years of his career.
He's an older player. I think that's usually what happens. Unless you're an all-time LeBron, Steph, you know, like guys that get up there in age, you start getting relegated to the bench at times. That's just what happens because you need to preserve those legs. I get it. Manu Ginobili, he was always like that sixth man, but he isn't really... Like, he wasn't really a bench player. He was a de facto starter at times.
He got starter minutes.
He did, and he closed the games, and he was so damn important for those Spurs teams. I'm not saying they're like-for-like the same player, Manu and Draymond. I'm just talking about this whole idea that you need to be starting. You don't. It's nice. You get the intros. It's great. But for the preservation of this team, and we're talking about an older core here of 35-year-old Jimmy, 35-year-old Draymond, 37-year-old Stephen Curry, yeah, I would like these guys' minutes to be a little reduced next year. And I think a young guy like Jonathan Kuminga, you know, taking that next step could alleviate some of that pressure off those older guys. By the way, Saturday, June 7th is Pride Day, and the Giants play the Atlanta Braves at Oracle Park. First 15,000 guests receive a Pride bucket hat, and your chance to win a 4-pack to said game will be today in between 7:30 and 8:30. So in the next hour or so, in about starting in three minutes for that next hour, between 7:30 and 8:30, you're going to be listening for this sounder. Anta, There you go. The Jung-Hoo Lee theme song. Be the caller number five to the contest line. Again, I'll give out the contest line when it's time to do it. Be caller number five. You'll qualify for that four-pack of tickets to that June 7th game between the Giants and Braves. And it's courtesy of Gilead. And as always, you can get more tickets at sfgiants.com. It's Spadoni and it's Loveman and Frischaski here on the Morning Roast, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. We got some callers that went away on the JK Talk. Did you see enough of JK and Jimmy to say, you know what? I think this can work. We saw Steph and JK thrive at times as well. So if I've seen it with Jimmy and JK, I've seen it with Steph and JK, why can't that trio work together? Kurt, Oakland, good morning. You're on the Morning Roast. What's up, Kurt?
Morning, guys. Thanks for taking the call. You know, it could work, but, you know, Kuminga's just got to fall in line, and a lot of young players don't want to fall in line. Look at the Oklahoma City Thunder. Everybody knows their role. Everybody falls in line. Everybody helps. You know, you need the hustle players. The Warriors had a couple youngsters years ago back in the dog years that, you know, were athletic as all heck, and they had the potential to being, you know, studs, never panned out. Brandon Wright, who still had a good NBA career, but he was like a seventh, eighth man off the bench, and Anthony Randolph, who never did anything. But it's kind of the same situation. You got to check your ego at the door. You got to help the team when the team needs the help, and you just got to fall in line. But a lot of young players don't want to do that, which makes sense because they want the payday. He's a talented scorer. He's a talented scorer indeed, but he's a one-trick pony. There's more to the NBA than just scoring and highlight reels. You can get a highlight reel on a great steal and helping your team. A great block, a great rebound in traffic. People go nuts over that. But people love the scoring, and he loves the score. It's just a double-edged sword. But hopefully he'll figure it out. If not, he's going to have to go if he can't fall in line. Well, you know, he can still average 18 to 25 points if he falls in line, but he doesn't want to. He's an on-the-trainer. Last thing, Buddy Hield had the same amount of tip-in dunks that Kuminga had last year. That shouldn't happen. Thanks, guys.
Kurt, are you still there?
Yeah, what's up?
I just want to ask, where do you think the scoring production, if you do move on from Jonathan Kuminga, like, who do you trust scoring the ball on this team? I'm going to put Steph Curry aside. He's the greatest shooter in the history of the sport. Who do you trust on this team to score the basketball? Because at the end of the day, it's about getting buckets in this league. And you saw it yesterday. Julius Randle scored 6 points. Julius Randle scored 6 points for the Wolves. They're cooked. They're done. They just cannot survive if Julius Randle is going to give them 6 points. As great as Anthony Edwards was getting to the hoop, he couldn't even score from beyond the arc. Who's scoring on this team outside of Steph consistently enough for you to build confidence that this team could go all the way?
Well, I would have to have confidence in the other young players to step up their game even more and work in the offseason to make sure they're ready to go. Quentin Post getting a post game as well as his outside shot. Moody gaining more confidence and more skill. You know, Pods working on his game. TJD working on finishes around the rim and having a mid-range game. I'm going to bank on those players. Gee Santos, who's not really a scorer, he started shooting the ball a little bit better in the regular season because last year he couldn't shoot at all. So I'm banking on those guys to pick it up. And they all look like they're willing to work in the off season to get going. Steve Kerr even said that this is the first time JK's been around the facility in the off season. You know, so it's like, okay, hopefully he'll put in some work. But I'm banking on those guys that I have on the roster. This is what we need from you guys. Look at what these other youngsters are doing. Can you step up and shoulder the load?
Thanks, Kurt. Don't mean to cut you off there, but it was good stuff. We're banking on Gee Santos, Quentin Post, Moses Moody. Like, and I love Moses. Like, maybe I'm not going to, like, couple Moses in with those other guys, but I saw all those guys shrink.
Yeah.
So badly in the playoffs. So badly. You know who rose up to the occasion?
Kuminga.
Jonathan Kuminga did.
So
there has to be something said about that, right?
It feels like to me, we're at a crossroads here, and I'm curious where the split on the fan base is on this. I have an inkling as a guess here. But is it more incumbent on Jonathan Kuminga doing as Kurt kind of suggested here, is just fall in line, get with the program, and do what the Warriors are asking of you? Or is it more on Kerr and the coaching staff to kind of take a look at the role they're asking for Kuminga here and saying, is this the best role for him, or is there a better way we can utilize his role on this team? Because, you know, it's almost like when Steve Kerr is saying that, you know, he's a great rebounder, he's a great cutter to the rim, you're, in Kuminga's mind, I think he's saying, you know, well, there's a lot more aspects to my game that we could be utilizing here. And you want to pigeonhole me to, you know, one or two things, but I know I'm built more for that. So is it incumbent on the coaching staff to kind of figure out how Kuminga's greater talents can fit in with this puzzle piece here? Or do you just look to Jonathan Kuminga and be like, hey, I know what you think you could do, but this is what we want you to do. Just do that and nothing else.
Steve Kerr on yesterday, as you're alluding to, on with Willard and Dibbs, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, talking about Kuminga on what he wants him to get better at, as you alluded to, the rebounds, loose balls, and running the floor.
So he's going to be in our gym, and we're going to hammer home those points with him, and try to, you know, try to get him to understand all those loose balls, all those long rebounds. Like, you know, with his athleticism, those are plays, if, you know, for him to help us win. You know, he's got to get those rebounds. He's got to chase down those loose balls. He's got to run the floor, sprint the floor. And if he does all these things, then there's no question he can find a better role and find a better fit, you know, next to Jimmy and Steph and Draymond. So that's the goal as a coaching staff, to try to help him achieve that and add those things to his game to give himself more of a chance to play.
And again, I think a lot of people are saying, well, he's been in the league this long, you know, he should already know how to do these things. Guy was so damn raw coming out of the G League Ignite. You drafted him knowing he was going to be a project. It's kind of what I get upset about when we have these discussions with certain players. Like what's going on with Anthony Richardson in the Indianapolis Colts. Again, different sport, but he was drafted in the top five out of Florida. Not because of his win-loss record, not because of his touchdown-interception ratio, because of the raw talent and athleticism, and you knew he was going to be a project. Oh, look at that. He actually has a full workload, and he's finally has his, you know, redshirt season last year, and he struggles a little bit. Oh, we got to pull him, though. Well, you knew he was a project. You got to let him play through the mistakes. Now, the Colts, I don't think they had championship expectations, so I'm harder on the Colts than I am with the Warriors here, because the Warriors, when you have a championship players like they did and do, and they won a championship with the rookie JK, I get that. But when you have Steph now, you have Draymond, and you have Jimmy, and they're all getting up there, I just don't think I'm in a position to be moving on from 22-year-olds that my organization invested in, albeit it was Bob Myers at the helm at the time, not Mike Dunleavy. Mike Dunleavy, part of the thought process, though, obviously, part of that think tank, mm-hmm. still with the organization. And I know the owner loves him. Are the Warriors at a point right now where they could be moving on from 22-year-old talented players like Jonathan Kuminga for 30-year-old, I'm just throwing out names, like older veteran players
yeah.
that could maybe do what you want to do, maybe not at the highest of level that JK can be as a scorer. I don't think they're in a position where they can move on from Jonathan Kuminga right now. I just don't.
Yeah.
Not from what I'm watching in the playoffs. Who's in the playoffs right now? The four teams remaining. Indiana Pacers. Young. Athletic. Run. The Knicks. A little different. They're going to grind it out, but they could score. They could absolutely score. They mm-hmm. scored 135 points the other game in game one. But the West. The young upstart. The back-to-back Western Conference Finals appearances for the young upstart Minnesota Timberwolves.
Young.
Athleticism. Athletic. Young. Their oldest player was Julius Randle. I know Rudy Gobert might be older, but their oldest best player, Julius Randle, is only 30. It's not that old. Oklahoma City, my God, they're all 25 and younger.
I don't think any of them can rent a car yet.
So, like, are you in a position to get rid of Jonathan Kuminga right now when I paint you that picture?
I got a point and then a counterpoint here. The point that I'm going to make is when it comes to bringing Kuminga along and playing through the mistakes, the struggle that Kuminga has versus other guys in his draft class, that 2021 draft class, I think like Franz Wagner, Franz Wagner. He was also in that draft class. I'm not going to talk.
He certainly was. No, you don't have to do that.
He has, you look at, you know, Wagner's minutes versus Kuminga's minutes. He's got like twice as many minutes as Kuminga. Wagner's in a position with the Magic that he could play through those mistakes because there were no expectations, much like the Colts with Anthony Richardson. And why I agree with you being harder on the Colts, because they pulled the plug on Richardson when they didn't need to. So the point here with Kuminga is that, yeah, there's an element of you want him to play through his mistakes and get better there. But at the same time, when you're a Warriors team that has championship expectations and is operating with that thin margin of error that championship expectations teams work with, you don't have the patience to work through those mistakes and let him learn through those mistakes, because the ultimate goal is to win basketball games. The Magic's ultimate goal was to make Franz Wagner a better basketball player. That was not the case here with Kuminga. The counterpoint to that, though, that I have is that the Warriors, I think, have shown, especially I think with this trio here of Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond Green, by and large, you could kind of throw seeding to the side. Like, in the Western Conference, the Warriors feel very good, I think, about going against any of these teams in a seven-game series. Except, you know, we'll put the Thunder to the side, because I think the Thunder are a different level. The Nuggets are scary. The Clippers are scary.
Rockets?
But the Warriors held their own with the Rockets. But I think this is a Warriors team that they feel that if they could just make the tournament, they feel like they're in as good a shape as any to be able to reel off 16 wins in a two-month stretch to get to the finals. So in that sense, and let me wrap this up, you can kind of play through some of Jonathan Kuminga's mistakes during the regular season, and if the result is you get the 6 seed instead of the 5 seed or something like that, yeah, I'm willing to let Kuminga play through some of those mistakes in the regular season if it means he'll be a stronger player come playoff time.
It's a good point. I'll say this, though. Yeah, extrapolate what this team was able to do in the regular season this year. Do that times, you know, heading into the next regular season for all 82 games. And maybe they're going to be a top 3 seed at the end of the day. But having said that, the reason this team faded, and I think it by and large that was part of Stephen Curry's injury, was because of that heavy workload, the hole they dug themselves in, and having to expand so much energy. Whether you're Steph, whether you're Draymond, whether you're Jimmy, all those guys had to expand so much energy to get to that point. They were gassed and exhausted.
It's the playoff run, basically. Right to the playoff.
It is. They're going to be gassed and exhausted next year, too, if they can't lean on any of these younger guys. I know Pods is going to be there. He's going to get a lot of minutes. Rightfully so. He played well in the regular season. You know, he had an unfortunate playoff run. That happens. It was his first ever one. I'm not going to be too hard on the guy. He showed a lot of upside this year. And showed why he could be a pretty solid player. Now, is he a starting point guard on a championship team? Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
A backup? Okay. I can hear you on that.
Your first point guard off the bench? Absolutely.
Absolutely. That being said, you're going to need a lean on those guys a lot more going forward. And I just, the scoring prowess of a Jonathan Kuminga, does it have to be always on the floor with Steph, with Jimmy, with Draymond? And I'm not saying it has to be that. I'm saying you could pick and choose your spots sometimes when it comes to this stuff. If it's working with Jimmy and Steph off the floor, well, then keep Steph off the floor, work with Jimmy, you'll figure it out. Figure out the right combinations. And I think that's what this offseason is truly going to be about, figuring out the right combinations. Because I do think there is a scenario where he does come back next year in game one of the regular season and is a part of this team. And yeah, maybe you look back and you go to this upcoming trade deadline next year.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Regular season, and then he pulled the trigger there. I think the injury this year with JK happening basically a month before the NBA trade deadline threw a monkey wrench into the entire situation.
Well, it was just
you couldn't trade the guy because, you know what, he was hurt. I'm not buying damaged goods. I don't know the severity, and as we all learned, it was a pretty serious
some teams in the NBA sprain. Will, but those teams probably don't have pieces you're looking for.
Correct, but I wasn't doing that if I'm an opposing team at this time in that current market. And then you have the Jimmy Butler angle and all that. So you bring in Jimmy Butler, JK, it's fine. Hey, we're winning. You can just take all the time you need, JK. So he comes back. It doesn't look good. And then he gets iced out. And then, you know, you rely on him when Steph Curry goes out. And it is what it is. He's scoring the ball well, but not doing the other things that Steve Kerr wanted him to do. So, and when I put it like that, I truly do not believe that they are in a position right now where they can just say, hey, sign and trade. Let's get him out of here. Let's go get a veteran here, a veteran there, and we'll figure it out the rest of the way. I don't know. This team is older, and you're going to need to rely on the legs of a Jonathan Kaminga. We've got a couple callers here, Sam.
Yeah,
I want to get to. Al's in San Francisco. He's been hanging on tight.
What's up,
wants
Al?
To join the JK and Butler conversation. Good morning, Al.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you for getting me on here.
Of course.
Hello?
Hey, we're here.
You're on.
Okay. I just want to say about Kaminga, Kerr kind of didn't play him when he should have played after he came back from his injury to get his engine going. And now that, you know, in the playoff he was needed, he put him in. It was kind of too late to see how Kaminga played. But the thing is, Kaminga could play with Butler, and all they need is an offseason to work on Quinn Post and TJD for the big man inside. Green, I don't know what he's a defensive player, but offensive, he can't do nothing. We lost the playoff because Green didn't step up. Pod is, he should come off the bench. Moody, he's same with Kaminga, 4 years and has done nothing. So I think Kaminga should stay in. I don't know if it was an obedience thing that he wasn't listening to Kerr during the season that Kerr benched him, but you know, for Kerr to say that Kaminga will be starting next year in the rotation, that, you know, he's a good player and everything, that's kind of too late, Kerr. You should have played the kid and let him go to the playoffs. He might have been the one to save the X factor in his playoffs. But with Kaminga and Butler next year, I can say that's an awesome duo. Thank you.
Thank you, Al. And I'll let you chime in here in a second, Sam. Is it too late to salvage this?
I was just about to go there.
That's
the
question at 888-957-9570. Is it too late to salvage this Jonathan Kaminga, Steve Kerr relationship, the whatever you want to call it, the Jonathan Kaminga experience? Is it too late to salvage?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I kind of wonder if they might have missed the window, you know, and I think you look at the last couple of years. I think not this season, but the season prior, the year when the Warriors were the 10 seed, the Chris Paul year, all those minutes that were given to what's his face? Not Tydra, Anthony Lamb. All those minutes that Anthony Lamb got over Jonathan Kaminga a couple years ago. And it's hard for me not to look at those minutes as a missed opportunity. Like, what was Anthony Lamb doing that was so incredible that we couldn't get Jonathan Kaminga on the floor more? That's kind of where I look at that and the missed opportunities there. The year before that, the punch year, you know, I don't know how many opportunities there were for Kaminga to get involved that season and what was his sophomore year. But, you know, we keep talking about, you know, he's in year four. He's 22 years old. He's still raw. He's still coming along.
you've had a lot of time if you're the Warriors to work him in to this team. And, you know, now I feel like, yeah, the Warriors are kind of paying the price for not committing to more of a run from Jonathan Kuminga in previous years. Yeah, well, I think it's absolutely, it feels like the window's been missed.
Yeah, is it too late now for this Jonathan Kuminga experience to be salvaged in Golden State? 888-957-9570. From the YouTube chat, by the way, we are streaming on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. This is from NorCali Mike. The Warriors drafted a Ferrari and expected it to do farm work. That's on the Warriors, not JK.
That's a good way to look at it, actually. You cannot do good farm work with a Ferrari. It does not work.
It was a prototype.
Even still, I mean, you're trying to drive it on the dirt out there. It's just cars aren't built for that kind of thing.
I believe the Lamborghini originally was from like tractors. The guy, like the Lamborghini dude.
Oh,
like,
really?
Who founded it was like
Mr. Lamborghini.
They made like engines for tractors and farm work.
Oh.
And then he was complaining about Ferraris and their like engines and like stuff like that. He's like, I'm going to make a better car than you ever will. And that's when they came to Lamborghini.
Wasn't that what that movie was? No, that was Ford and Ferrari.
Yeah, it's a different one. I'm butchering it all. I stuff.
Different Italian cars.
There you go.
Shout Italians.
Thank you. We love them. Usually. But I'll say this. When it comes to JK, when it comes to Steve Kerr, I'm tired of the blame game at this point. I'm just tired of, oh, it's Steve. Oh, it's JK. I'm just so past that. I think a lot of Warriors fans are. It's just like, let's just figure it out. Like, it's finite amount of time now with Steph in this window. It's really like, it feels like it's just the next 2 years. That's it.
No, I think it's absolutely the next year.
And you might look back, which sucks to say, you might look back and say this was the run. This is the run that you squandered. Maybe you're playing the Pacers or the Knicks if you got through the Thunder.
I don't think they would have gone through the Thunder, but your point still stands.
Like
though.
You could talk yourself into it, though, with how well they played against the Thunder in the regular season, which is different than the playoffs, which, again, I keep going back to the youth, and that is why the Thunder are in prime position right now up 2-0. They have all the skill. They have all the depth. But the youth is a huge factor in all mm-hmm. of that. And those young legs being able to carry from round one, round two, against a tough seven-game series against the Denver Nuggets, who are champs in their own right, and for them to be up 2-0 on the team that had all the rest and is relatively young still in Minnesota, yeah, that matters to me. And I'm paying very much attention and close attention to that with this aging Warriors unit.
But to that point, though, the Thunder, yes, they're having a great season here, 68 wins, you know, incredible season. But that does not underlie, like, that was a young team that played through a lot of their mistakes. You know, they were given that avenue because it was literally just, you guys are the future, figure it out, put it together, and once we put it together, we're going to start cooking with some hot grease. And that's what they did this year. And this is where it kind of goes back to, you know, the earlier point, counterpoint that I made, where it was just like, you had an opportunity to be working Kuminga into the lineup, but you didn't want to do it for fear of losing games and costing you in the playoffs. But then the Warriors are taking this approach to where they feel like if they're just in the tournament, they're good to go. So that's where I look at this window being missed. That's where I work at these last 2 years and being like, you had chances to work Kuminga in the lineup. Now, again, this year it's a little bit harder because you only had basically 16 games to work Kuminga into the lineup. So that's where I think you kind of can look at training camp this upcoming season. But then I look at this next season, though. You know, 82 games, it's a long NBA season. You talk about how, you know, the Warriors, they were kind of behind the eight ball playing catch-up from 25 and 26 through the rest of the season. It did gas them a little bit. But I do think this is a team that is good enough, if you bring back this trio, along with Jonathan Kuminga, let Kuminga play through some of his mistakes a little bit more alongside Jimmy and Steph to start the season out. And then last 2 months of the season, kind of ramp up to get into that playoff spot. You don't have to make it as intense of a chase as it was this year. It's basically a 3-month chase this time. Try to make it maybe a 2-month chase next year. And if you could get that, we used to say, you know, operation, get the one seed. I think it's operation for the Warriors next year. Just get the 6th seed to get out of that play-in. And if you can position yourself there, you feel as good, I think, as any team in these playoffs based off of your championship experience and also the fact that you have Steph Curry as the centerpiece of your team. There is a formula there to where the Warriors can allow Jonathan Kuminga to play through any mistakes next year, which in year 5, I feel like it shouldn't be that situation, but that's the situation you're in. Let's not sit here and say what should, could, would. Let's be real about what is. And what is happening here is you still have a chance to potentially maybe salvage this window and create a positive future for Jonathan Kuminga with your three future Hall of Fame players on this team.
Before we hit the injury report, we got a couple calls here I want to get to. 888-957-9570. Is it too late to fix the Jonathan Kuminga, what do you want to call it, experiment? Is it too late to even just stick with it?
Era?
Is it over? Is it done? Are we cleaning our hands, washing our hands? It's over. We're done with it. I still think there's something there. I do. To Steve Kerr, though, I guess that's what matters at this point. Eric is in San Jose, wants to join the conversation. Eric, good morning. You're on the Morning Roast with Spadoni and Lubman.
How you doing?
What's up?
What's going on, Eric?
So I think the issue is there's a difference between a phenomenal athlete and a great basketball player. Jonathan's a phenomenal athlete. Anybody that's played basketball at a higher level than high school can look at that young man and know that he doesn't know the game of basketball. And that's where the disconnect is with this team. Because you've got a bunch of guys that went through at least 3 years of college. They see the floor differently. And Jonathan, by Steve Kerr's own admission, by not being around over the summer, not hanging around training camp, things like that, he's not getting the exposure to how to see the floor, which is why his turnovers are high, which is why he doesn't position himself right to get rebounds, given how athletic he is. He's a phenomenal athlete, but to play long-term on this team as it's constructed right now, you got to know the game, and he doesn't know the game right now.
Thanks, Eric.
I think there's some there to that point, especially when you consider that, you know, I didn't know that Kuminga's been just basically absent from the facility as much as he had been over the last few years. Yeah, I remember I caught up with him in an A's game after his rookie year, and, you know, he used to talk about all the travels that he did. So there is a little bit of precedent there, but, you know, I do kind of wonder, yeah, how much being around the team all summer long will help him out there and kind of giving him a head start into next year. I am willing
Kerr
to be open-minded on that.
Summer. I mean, wasn't he doing the Summer Olympics? Wasn't Steph Curry doing the Summer Olympics last year?
That is true. Well, I think if Steph isn't around the facility during the summer, I think that's a little bit okay.
This whole point is about Steph and Curry and whether or not JK can play with him. So, like, that's a good point.
If you want Steph and JK to hang out at the facility last summer, yeah, that would have been a little bit tough. I don't know, maybe JK, go to France with Steph and hang out with Steph in his free time. I don't know. But, listen, again, that's kind of getting into the coulda, shoulda, woulda of the past. I let the past die. Bury it if you have to. I want to move forward and look for what we can do going forward. And, yeah, I'm willing to listen to the notion that a summer of Steph and JK hanging out at the facility together being a path to getting this all back on track. Again, you talk about, has the window passed? These are the ways how you can maybe try and claw that window back and maybe try and reopen it. That's your hope there, I feel like. That is your last hope at this point.
We have the full back and forth, by the way, between Steve Kerr and Willard and Dibbs yesterday. And it's about 5 minutes, and we're going to play that in the 8 o'clock hour. So coming up here in about 7 minutes or so, we'll play that entire back and forth because there's really good stuff. If you missed any of that interview, find it in its entirety. That's a lot. On the free Odyssey app or on YouTube, it's all there. Steve Kerr, who joins them every single regular season throughout the year when it comes to the Golden State Warriors season. And it's unfortunately over, but it'll be back before you know it. Before we hit the injury report, let's get to Sean in Oakland. Sean.
What's up, Sean?
What's up?
Hey, what's going on? Thanks for taking my call. Just a couple points I want to make about JK. So, I mean, let's all agree he's a prolific scorer. We've seen enough of a sample size to know the guy can get to the cup. And so you got a guy each 20 points a night. So you don't throw that baby out with the bathwater. I liken him just for production to like a Lou Williams or a Jamal Crawford who can get you instant offense. So let's just put that there. Now, there are things on JK's game that you got to improve, such as the ball handling. I really don't like how you get stripped by going to the hole and then the rebounding, the hustle play. But let's keep in mind, though, is that we can always accentuate and really make our our strengths stronger. So, you know, if he works more on his offensive game, as prolific as he is, he's a great on-ball defender, and maybe you gradually bring along improving some of those hustle plays and the rebounding. I also want to just bring out the point I think you guys alluded to earlier, is that we're going to have a lot of non-Steph, non-Jimmy minutes. In the regular season, you want to get those guys down to 30, 32 minutes a night. So when they're not in the game, you can allow J.K. to cook, to be an isolation guy, play through him, and then you can see tremendous efforts there. And also with an older core, these guys, let's just be honest here, they're only going to play 60 to 65 games a year.
Gotcha. Hey, Sean, I appreciate it. We're up against it. Didn't mean to cut you off. That was really good
stuff.
Thanks,
Sean.
We'll continue that conversation after the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Moses Moody, who struggled shooting the ball in the playoffs, and now we know why. Turns out Moses had a torn ulnar collateral ligament in his right thumb. It is unclear how long he was dealing with the injury, but did have to have his thumb wrapped during games down the stretch of the season. He underwent successful surgery on Wednesday to repair the ligament and is expected to be ready to go for Warriors training camp this fall. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. The show of the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. We're going to hear that back and forth next between Willard Dibbs, Steve Kerr, Jonathan Kuminga. His future in Golden State is what? Vonta Hill in studio on the 9 o'clock hour. Plus, coming up next, your chance to win a four-pack of tickets for a Giants-Braves game on Saturday, June 7th on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.